Welcome to the Professional Magician Podcast. Discover ways to book more shows at higher fees from a guy who's been doing it for over 20 years. Here's Chris Johnson.
An interview with Claude Haggerty about fundraising and how you can help communities. That plus a review of Snowman from a Box by Ken Scott. It's all coming up in today's episode of the Professional Magician Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Johnson. Thanks so much for listening. Claude Haggerty is a great guy, just a very great, warm, wonderful, caring guy, and he teaches an amazing fundraising system that can not only earn you a ton of money and help you fulfill your desire of being a full-time magician, but he can also teach you a fantastic fundraising method that will help you help other communities. He's got a lot of passion about this. You're going to learn a lot about Claude. I've known him for a number of years. He's a very giving guy. The kind of information he imparts in this interview is fantastic. Gives you a lot of great tips for getting started right away and altering your mindset. Some just incredible ideas, and I do highly, highly, highly recommend his fundraising program, which he's going to talk about in this interview as well. So please enjoy my review with the one and only Claude Haggerty.
Get ready for the gunner's seat. Chris Johnson and today's special guest get into the trenches to talk marketing advice, performing tips, business strategies, and strange but true war stories from the world of professional magic.
Okay, I'm here today in the Professional Magician Podcast with Claude Haggerty. Am I pronouncing your last name correct, Claude?
You got her.
Good, excellent. So you and I have known each other for a few years, and you're here today to talk to my listeners and magicians about an opportunity that I've been saying to anybody who will listen before when COVID started, that as things started to ease back toward some degree of normalcy, it was one of the biggest money-making opportunities for magicians. But as you and I talked about during the pre-show, the production meeting, it's an opportunity to do some really fantastic good things in the community as well. So it's a two-pronged thing. It's a great money-making opportunity for magicians, and a way to benefit your community in ways that a lot of magicians probably aren't even aware of. So I'm going to let you dive right in and take this however you want, and I'll jump in with questions here and there. But let's get to it. Tell us all about first how you got into this field of magic, and then what kind of your superhero origin story, and then we'll kind of get into what you're talking about today, which is sponsorships.
Chris, I grew up in foster care. I lived in 4 foster homes before grade 8. I also stuttered. I was bullied a lot because of the stuttering.
I did too. I was too.
At recess time, I would just go to the library to avoid the playground at all cost. Used to gravitate towards the magic books. Learned a simple card trick. Went to my principal, Sir pick one. And he's like, oh my God. Took me 20 minutes to do a 5-minute card trick because of the stuttering. And he was like, oh my God, that was so amazing. Oh my God, that was unbelievable. And he would always make a big fuss out of me for doing these tricks with him. One day, my principal said there was a big magic show coming to a nearby city. He bought 5 tickets for this performance, but there's only 4 people in his family. He had this extra ticket, so he had a magic draw. And from the 700 kids at the school, I would win this lucky magic ticket, and I got to go with him and his children and his family to be amazed. And then I told my principal, this is what I'm going to do one day. And he said, yes, you are.
That's great.
So that's kind of how I started. I started performing with the big cats, and my overhead was pretty serious because contact an insurance company and say, I travel with 12 big cats, lions, tigers, cougars, jaguars. Right. And I want to take these Siberian tigers into elementary schools every single day. And let's just say something happens and a Siberian tiger gets loose and there's casualties. I need to be covered, right? So what would my premiums be? So even back in the 80s and 90s, I was paying $10,000 per month on insurance. I was paying $2,500 per week, whether I did a show or not.
Right.
So my costs were more than my clients would have the ability to pay. So I was kind of forced into sponsorships. My first sponsored deal, I was going to ask for $100 just to get my first one. This is back in 1980. And I walked in with 2 Polaroid pictures. Polaroids was a whole old, but long ago that was.
Sure.
All the instant photos, right? One with me with two rings and one with me with a dove on my finger. Oh my God, there's some good promo pictures for you.
Right.
Right. But we got to start somewhere, right? So I walk in,
right,
meet with this local business. He said, well, how much would it cost to sponsor those two shows you have at the local festival? And I was going to say, try to say, I can do this for 100. But when you stutter, those F words are really hard to initiate. So
right.
I said, I could do this for $100. And he looked at me and he says, okay, I'm going to do this. And he made a check out for $400.
Nice.
And that was my first. And I did what any smart magician would do. I give him a receipt and I haul butt out of there.
Right.
Chris, I got in my car and I swore that I would never go back into that situation again because it was so nerve-wracking for a guy who stuttered.
Right.
But back in 1980, I was working part-time jobs to buy illusions. And at that time, I was earning $4 per hour. So do I go and work 100 hours to make that $400, 100 hours of labor? Or do I go back in and stutter through one more sponsor presentation and maybe make an extra $400?
Right.
What if I could do a magic show for $500? And what if I could get paid $500 or $1,000 from sponsors for doing that same performance?
Makes more sense.
Or do I just go and keep doing more shows or working insane part-time jobs trying to fund this? So
right.
To me, it was a no-brainer. So I kind of went back in. And I'll admit, for the first long time, I just got doors shut in my face. People said no. And I realized I was really overcomplicating the crap out of this. So I started simplifying this to death. And not only was I able to get sponsors, I was able to get a lot of sponsors. I was able to generate 2,500 to 5,000 in sponsors every time I walked on stage. So what I did is I walked.
That's amazing.
I walked on stage a lot. I did 11,000 of these magic shows from coast to coast.
That is amazing. 11,000. Jeez.
And I was able to go to 8,000 schools for free. For free, 8,000. I'll say that number again, 8,000 schools.
That is huge, huge for free, number.
For free, all thanks to my sponsorship.
Yeah.
And I was able to go to these schools and do a magic show, talk about dreams, goals, believing in yourself, how to use your school library to stay focused on your dreams, and a little reminder to principals and teachers that sometimes you do a little act of kindness for a child over and above teaching, and you change their life.
Yeah.
My principal bought me a $10 magic ticket, and I raised many, many, many millions of dollars for a nonprofit group.
Millions of dollars. I want to stress to the audience, many millions of dollars. That's amazing.
So all because my principal believed in me and how I had the ability to fund those shows through sponsorships. One thing you have to understand for those of you who do school shows, you are performing in front of a federally protected audience.
Right. Oh, you just bumped your mute button. There you go.
So what that means is that advertisers cannot advertise in schools. They are not allowed.
Right.
Otherwise, children would come home, Dad, I can only wear Adidas. I can only wear Nike. So this is why they don't allow them to advertise within schools.
Right.
However, you position yourself not only as a magician or an entertainer, but you are coming to the school to inspire children and help them. So when I work with the schools, we go there with two proposals, and I always do this with two proposals, anybody I work with. Option A, you pay me. Option B, I pay you. Okay? And this is not some being manipulative in any way. That's one of the words I can't say because my stuttering, so I'll skip that word again.
I understand.
But it's not like a magician's choice or force. There's no persuasion either way. if you want to pay me, I'm cool with that. I come, I do the show, you pay me, we're good. But what if there was a way I could pay you? Rather than you paying me $500 or $800 to come and perform at your assembly, which I'm prepared to do, you tell me the date, time, and I come, do it, pay me. But what if we did something a little different? What if I come to your school for free on that day? For free. First of all, take the money you were going to spend on me or someone. Just do something good for the school. Do something good for some of the kids that maybe couldn't go to the zoo or to the prom. Just do some good within the school.
Right.
Come and do it for free. But 3 or 4 days later, let's do an event. Let's bring all the parents back. Let's charge an admission. Let's work on a bit of a percentage split. And why don't we reduce the admission for those who bring a non-perishable food item? Let's turn that over to a local food bank. Why don't we go out and go to the Boys and Girls Club or some of the local groups to see, like, Big Brothers, Big Sisters? Why don't we just give them 50 tickets and see if some kids who couldn't come, why don't they just come? I also, at the end of my performance, I go around the gymnasium and I give every teacher one complimentary ticket to the performance happening a couple days later.
That's great.
Each teacher is going to have a magic draw in their class where one very lucky child will be able to come and hear my story and watch my show to be inspired and amazed, and they can come for free.
That's really great.
Chris, about 98% of all the children who won those tickets share my story somehow. They were children who kind of needed an inspiration boost, maybe the most. And thank God that the majority of those tickets won their magic draw the way I won my magic draw.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
I was able to generate $20,000 to $30,000 per month in sponsorships to make that happen.
Ooh-wee.
Because what happens is, what if I could take a local real estate agent? And what if I could take you and put you in front of that family audience that you cannot have access to in any way?
Yeah.
Maybe you're the realtor and we put an apron on you and you collect the food as people come in and you're serving them on behalf of Remax and the food bank, and you're doing that. And we're talking about, we give tickets to some of the veterans who are able to come. And let's say halfway through my show, I'm doing a miracle prediction or ESP reveal, a mentalist effect of some sort. And just as I go to do the big reveal, the back door opens of the auditorium. In comes a man carrying a pizza. He's whistling, singing away. I'm like, excuse me. Like, what are you doing? He's like, Domino's here. Domino's here. Somebody ordered a hot pizza. I'm like, we have a show going on right now. He goes, well, is this the address? Is this so-and-so school? Well, somebody ordered the pizza. So I kind of walk out, meet him halfway in the middle of the audience. We exchange a few words there in front of the audience. I said, sir, why is this the best pizza? And he said, this pizza was made 6 minutes ago. It's still steaming hot. I got double cheese, double pepperoni. It is super thin crust. You can just smell that pizza. So, ladies and gentlemen, I call your attention to the man sitting to my left. This is Captain Johnson of the local fire department. And I understand that they're raising money for the Jaws of Life, or they're trying to buy a piece of equipment or fix their truck or buy new hoses or whatever they're trying to do. So I'll tell you what, folks, we are going to auction this pizza off tonight, slice by slice, to the highest bidder.
Here's slice number one. Oh, that's great.
Who'll give me 5? Who'll give me 10? 15? I got 20. I got 25. I got 40. I got 45. I got 50. 55, 60. Some of those pizzas slices will go for $50 to $100 a slice.
Wow.
Okay. We take that money. We walk it over to the firefighter and I drop it in his hands. And I'm saying, this audience is very proud to help you make that happen here.
Oh, not a dry eye in the house.
Okay. Now, what they don't know, the pizza guy paid me $1,500 to make this happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So who wins?
Everybody. Yeah.
Who loses? Nobody.
Oh.
And I was able to take these sponsors, put them in front of a market that they cannot normally access without selling. There's no sleazy marketing, but by building those things into the performance in such a way that will create goodwill. Can you imagine people talking about that afterwards and the good that I do and the social media and all that would that come with something like that?
It's memorable,
right? That makes an impact, and that's how you create opportunity for yourself. Chris, I will say this, you know, people ask me why bother even getting sponsored, right? And there's four or five advantages, and they all start with the letter C. Okay. Number one, the minute you get a sponsor partner on board, the minute you shake hands, you have instant credibility.
Right.
Because you're brought to town by the Chamber of Commerce. You're brought to the town by the Rotary Club. You're being brought to town by the local bank or Google or Ford or some authority that may have, imagine going to a school and saying you're sent here by McDonald's or you're sent there by Domino's or you're sent there by some governing body that's well-respected. It gives you credibility you don't have on your own as an entertainer.
Right.
Number two. As soon as you shake hands, you now have access to connections that you've never had before because your sponsors have a Rolodex of people that they know they can trust, that no one like can trust them, that could be very valuable to one putting on events. Oh, you need a truck? I'll just call this guy. Oh, you want to be on the radio? Hey, let me call my guy at the radio. Oh, you need a venue? Oh, let me call my friend over at the wherever. What's that worth? Okay. Or I have a huge following. Let me send that information to your show. Let me send that out to my 12,000 people on my email list to help you guys.
Right.
Okay. Instantly. The third thing I love, you have instant cash. So you and I could sit here right now and decide that you and I, Chris, where are you from? What's the name of the city you're from?
Niagara Falls, New York.
Okay. I'm in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. So we're that far. I didn't know you were that close, my friend. We could be halfway, have a beer or something.
Right.
but here's the thing, right? You and I could decide to do a show in, say, Buffalo on September 15th. Yeah, let's do something. And I could hang up the phone. I could call a realtor in Buffalo and say, guess what? Chris and I is doing something there on September 15th. And they'd say, yeah, I'd like to partner with you. And they could send me a check in the next half hour. So I have instant credibility. I have instant connections. I have instant cash. Like, I mean, instant cash. We get paid long before we even do the show. The next thing I believe is that it gives you confidence being sponsored, first of all, because you're being represented, you're being sponsored. But secondly, you're making 2 to 5 times what most entertainers would make because of the sponsorships.
Right.
Okay. And the last C, which I think is one of the biggest thing, is that you have complete control over your calendar.
That's huge.
Well, 'cause here's what happens. I don't care if you're a magician, hypnotist, performer, author, speaker. If you work on a stage in any fashion, who's ever paying you tells you this is when it is. This is when you need to be here. This is what you agree to do. And when you're done, I will pay you once you fulfill your obligation. That's just the way it works.
Right.
So what most entertainers would do is they go through their calendar they look what all the bookings are, and then they plan life around those events. Because if someone's going to pay you $7,000 next Sunday to go do a gig, guess what? You're busy that day.
Right.
This is what pays the bills. This is how we survive as a family.
Right.
Right. That's rent, car payments, food. I mean, you got it. But when you have the ability to be sponsored, your client's budget is no longer a concern. Because I come to you, I want $5,000. You only got $2,500. Hey, no problem. I just get the other $2,500 sponsored.
Right. Okay? Right. Got to open up so many doors.
Okay. Now, when you pay me plan A, you tell me what it is, I come and do it. But when I do plan B, when I pay you, see, here's the thing. Let's say I was to call the fire department in Niagara Falls, New York. Guy answers, hey, Bill Smith here, Niagara Falls, New York Fire Department. Hey, Sergeant, you and I have never met. My name is Claude Hagerty. I have a good friend, Chris Johnson, who lives in your community. Chris and I are both magicians. Chris and I decided that on September 15th, we're going to do something together. We're going to do an event. And we're going to donate maybe 50% of all the money that comes in. We're going to donate it back to a local cause. And I know you guys do great work at the firefighters. And if you say yes, we'll just send you half of our profit. If you say no, we'll offer it to another group. They'll say, see you September 15th.
Right. That's powerful.
Right? They don't say, oh my God, what about the week before? That don't work for us. They're like, oh my God, sure. Love that. Love to have that. Right? So each month, so I talk to my wife, my family. If there's places that we want to go, places that we want to go visit, like a couple summers ago, just before I retired performing, my wife had some family in the Eastern Canada she hasn't seen in 10 or 15 years. I'm like, get out. Tell me what cities they're in and what days do you want to go there? We'll go. We'll spend 10 days there. I'll do two events out of the 10 days. 8 days, we'll just go have fun. 2 days, I'll work. And I'll pay for the trip and come home with 10 or 15 grand.
Man, that's powerful.
And you just reach out to those organizations. Hey, I'm going to be in Halifax on this day. I'm going to do something. And then I contact the local, and then I start getting a sponsored, right?
That's powerful. That's really powerful.
And yet, it is super simple too, right? So, Chris, I'd like to give some folks some suggestions on maybe getting their first sponsor, if I can here, just to give you
great.
A couple tips. I don't know what time length is, and I probably went over my time here, but...
No, we're fine. We're fine.
No. Businesses will only sponsor you if they know you, like you, and trust you.
Right.
If a business does not know you, they're not going to sponsor you because they don't know you. If they don't like you, they won't sponsor you because they don't like you. And if they don't trust you, they're certainly not going to give you their hard-earned money and access to their brand if there's not that trust factor.
Right.
Okay. So once you get going and you have credibility, you can go anywhere and say, well, you want credibility? Here's 11,000 that are already done. They're like, oh my God, it's good for us, right?
Right.
In the beginning, when you're beginning to get sponsors, you never had a sponsor before, you don't have that credibility, begin with businesses that we call the fresh fruit on the ground, which is businesses that already know you, like you, and trust you, and you already know them, like them, and trust them. Because 90% of the people who struggle getting sponsorships don't get it because of the no like and trust factor. Even race teams I work with, they're sending out to conglomerates that's never heard of them before.
Right.
Right. So if you begin with businesses that already know you, like you, and trust you, and there's three different categories on how you could do that. Number one is family or friends that already have a business. Right. So I can go to my friends. He's a realtor. I know somebody else owns he's a mechanic or a bricklayer or a dentist or whatever.
Yeah. I've got an accountant I could turn to.
right? Okay. Because I already know him, like him, trust him, and they already know me, like me, and trust me. We already have that factor. And two, if you were going to benefit a business, if you actually had the means to help them get new customers, why wouldn't you want your friends and business and family to have that? Right?
Right.
The second thing is, I forget my topic there. My phone just rang. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Where we were just left.
Oh, knowing, liking, and trusting, and businesses right. You already know.
True. Number two is most people don't think of this one, which is a friend of a friend.
Right.
Okay. So one of two things. In the beginning, to build credibility, I either want to know them personally, or I want to be referred to them by somebody they know, like, and trust. I'll give you a typical example. Chris, just tell me the first name of a realtor that you might know in Niagara Falls, New York.
Realtor, first name, Judy.
Judy?
Yep.
And how do you know Judy?
She, at one point, she was my client, my wife's client at her hair salon.
Okay. And did you ever do any real estate deals with her or anything like that?
No. By the time we went to buy our first house, she had gone on to a different salon. So we found another realtor that was recommended by another one of my wife's salons or one of my wife's clients. So it was all based on who we knew.
See, here's the thing. What's your wife's first name?
Libby.
Libby?
Yep.
See, I could call Judy. She would answer, Judy, a realtor, Niagara Falls, New York. Hey, Judy, my name's Claude Hagerty. You and I have never met. That's a fact. But we have some mutual friends. In fact, this mutual friend speaks quite highly of you, actually. In fact, I believe that you were a client in their hair salon at one time. And she would say, oh, my God, you're talking about Chris and Libby. I'm like, bingo. She's like, how are they doing anyways? Oh, they're doing good. Hey, Judy, I was talking to Chris yesterday about doing a very unique project in Niagara Falls, New York, and this particular project is going to benefit one local realtor. One local realtor is going to benefit in a very unique way. And when I was talking to Chris and Libby about this, they thought of you right away. Now, Judy, what I have may or may not be of interest. No pressure, right? It may or may not be for you. But I promise Chris and Libby, I would give you the first look at this. If you like it, hey, we'll do something really cool. If this is not for you, no pressure, nothing lost, I'll offer it to another realtor. But again, I promise Chris and Libby, I will let you see this first.
I love that.
Is $1 million script right there.
Yeah.
I charged you $1,000 and I gave you that word for word script. That would be the best $1,000 you've spent. Because you know what happened?
Yeah. I want to unpack that for a second for my listeners, how that was so brilliant, because you're borrowing, not the word, credibility. You're borrowing the affinity with somebody that they already know. So now you've got an in as far as rapport.
No, like, and trust.
Rapport and trust. You're taking away any sense of pressure, you know, making it non-confrontational, not high salesy or anything like that. It's just very gentle, very nice, very calm. I mean, that's huge. That's massive.
Okay. And you know what would happen? Judy would meet with me with almost zero hesitation.
Right.
Okay. She wouldn't be nervous, no hesitation. Why? She knows, likes, and trusts you and Libby, that no one like and trust her, that knows and like and trust you, and you and no like and trust me, and I know like and trust you. And this is why this fits so well. Now, imagine if I called Judy and she's like, Judy here, realtor. Hey, Judy, I'm a total stranger, but do I got a deal for you?
Right.
She's like, no thanks.
Right.
Not interested. Don't even want
having that in is so smart. So okay. Smart.
So this is why I don't send out packages. I never ever have. I'm one of the very few entertainers that don't send out anything like that. I simply contact those I want to partner with and saying, what if there's way? And here's the other thing is too, okay? I'll give you another tip here. I'm going to give you a $5,000 crash course here. Rather than asking someone to sponsor you, What if you were to ask this question? Hey, what if there was a way where you and I could mutually profit by helping each other?
So much better.
Would you be at least open to the idea of us having a conversation on maybe how that might be? Hey, if you like what I'm going to suggest, hey, we'll do something. If not, it's no problem. I'll offer it to someone else. But I certainly want to make sure that you saw this first.
Yeah. Because, yeah, that's so different because when people hear sponsor, they're immediately like, okay, this person is asking to write a check, which you know may set up barriers and may not depending on other factors. But a mutual partnership is much more, people would be much more amiable to that idea.
Hey, at least have a conversation what that might look like.
Right.
I could help you this way. You could help me this way. This is how you're going to win. This is how I'm going to win. If that makes sense, hey, let's do something. If not, let's not.
Right.
Okay.
That's huge. Oh, that's so huge. That's such great stuff. Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, super simple without and I think we as entertainers, we have a tendency to overcomplicate the crap out of this.
Yes.
We're staying busy. You know, a lot of entertainers are so busy. They got all these shows. Yeah, but are you really making any money?
Right. Really?
Come on now. Right. What if you could do less shows, get paid more for those shows? Let me give you an example. I've done a ton of malls. I've done a ton of festivals, fairs, like by the thousands. And a lot of my competitors who now I've helped many of them, I've helped now the sponsors. They're all, we help each other now. But right. When we were back kind of competing for gigs, you know, I was with Brian Glow. Brian Glow travels with 3 tractor trailers. I only had 2. He's a pass me. I'm like, oh.
Wow. You
know, and stuff like that, you know. And so imagine going to a client. And they are looking for an entertainer. It could be a corporate gig. It could be a festival, fair. But a lot of times they're saying, hey, we're looking for something and we're going to see what's out there and we're going to pick one. It could be a school show, corporate show, fair, festival, whatever. So they get all their proposals. And the first thing that most entertainers do, they've been trained to at least ask this one question is like, what is your budget?
Right.
Okay. So they always ask that question. So you call the festival and you say, yes, I like this. And then I understand you're looking for an entertainer. What is your budget? And they say, hey, we're looking for 2 shows on Friday, 2 shows on Saturday. We're going to spend $2,000. That's our budget, but send us a proposal. So 100 magicians in other groups will send in their bids, 1900, 1500, like 1850, 1999.99.
Right.
Okay. Some will put an offer at $500. They would automatically be rejected because you can't be serious. If you couldn't do what we need for that. So you'd be eliminated because that's not what we're looking for because we're looking for a standard.
Right.
Very few entertainers would say, hey, I know your budget is $3,000, but pay me $8,000 because I'm worth it. Very few would have the cojones to do that.
Right.
Okay. Some would, and they probably get it. But most wouldn't. But again, I always send in 2 proposals. Okay. Proposal number 1 is exactly what you're asking for. I'll do 2 shows on Saturday, 2 shows on Sunday, and it's $2,500, just like what you're asking for. But let me ask you this, and I start this off as what if I could do a publicity stunt about a week before the event? Something newsworthy, blindfold drive, do something with the mayor, do a levitation down, but something newsworthy. What if I could arrange my own radio interview, go on the air and talk about my event at your, whatever you got going on? Here's a good one. What if I went to 10 elementary schools the week leading up to my appearance at your festival, fair, mall, convention, whatever you're doing. And what if I went to 10 schools for free? I talked about dreams, goals, believe it in yourself, and invited all those children to bring their parents to the festival, to the fair, and they're going to get a CD of magic tricks or a booklet or a complimentary card trick or something of cool value. And what if, when I was done my fourth show, what if I did a huge grand finale? Oh, and by the way, if you take plan B, just pay me for the shows. The publicity stunt, the visits to the schools, the radio interview, the grand finale, I'll just get that sponsored. That won't cost you anything extra.
Oh, man, is that powerful.
Okay. How many times do you think I got that gig?
I would say most.
Pretty much 100%.
That's amazing.
Okay. Because you would be foolish to decline that offer.
Right.
Okay. So I'm now able to make $7,500 to $10,000 for that gig. Still taking their $2,500, right? And adding, and I'm getting paid more because I'm doing more.
Right.
I'm helping them in a way that they probably didn't even know they needed this help in that way by me going to the schools and doing different things. I could help them even over and above what they thought was even possible. It doesn't cost them any extra money. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to thank our sponsors during that performance for helping us to make this happen. That's it.
Oh, that's powerful. That is absolutely powerful. I love it. Now, do you have, this is a part of the interview as we draw to a close where, tell our listeners what, because I know you offer like mentorships and other kind of things. Talk about that a little bit. I'll make sure I put any contact information for this in the show notes too when the episode goes live. But yeah, please pitch away because this is great stuff. I remember this from our early conversation a few years back.
Yeah, and again, I'm not here to sell my programs in any way, right? I'm simply here to help those who want to be serious about performing to get paid accordingly. One way you can contact me is chatwithclaude.com. It goes to my Calendly account. You simply book a time. We chat for 15 to 30 minutes on Zoom to see where are you at, what are you trying to do, and where are you trying to end up. I give you four or five tips on the call you can go and implement right away. That call is free of charge.
That's wonderful.
All I ask is show up. Nothing worse than me giving up my family time, come sitting in front of a Zoom camera, and then you don't show up, the guy who actually booked the call so I could go and help him for free, and they were busy, they didn't make it.
Come on. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Show up, or at least saying, hey, man, I can't make it. You don't need to be ready because I won't be there. That's all I ask. Okay.
Right.
Simple as that. Once we figure out where you're at, and I'll give you some tips you can use right away, take those and implement those. Now, if you want me to help you to implement that over a period of time, we can talk about what that might look like. And I do have programs and services, depending on how we do this, where I can help you to implement what we talked about.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a small time, a little investment required. The entertainers I work with make this back and then some on their first event. A one sponsor deal is super affordable. Here's the thing. Okay. I work a lot with Dean Hinkey, who's a mentor, a lot of folks as well.
Oh, I know Dean. Dean's wonderful.
Dean and I have partnered on this in a very big way. Dean and I together have raised almost $20 million for nonprofit groups.
Oh, that's amazing.
We kind of, in the last 5 to 6 years, we kind of co-mentor each other twice per week, and we kind of double team. Dean has done probably 40,000 events. I've only done 11,000 events. but Dean can pack out events like nobody's business. And so using his knowledge of working with nonprofit groups and the events and my specialty of the sponsorships. But together we raise about $20 million for nonprofit groups. But here's the thing. If we can teach 100 entertainers to go do this, we could raise hundreds of million dollars for nonprofit groups by working together.
Ugh.
Right now, children in Nashville are being taken care of because I helped my good friend Tim Fox get sponsors. Brian Glow is up doing suicide awareness tours up like near the North Pole because he was able to get this sponsor. And to somebody who grew up in foster care, who stuttered, who was being bullied, people thought I was stupid because I stuttered. Being able to help entertainers around the world to go and make a difference is pretty humbling for a young guy like me that started out this way. So, and the reason that I feel confident in sharing all of this is because there are so many groups that I can never put a dent in what needs to be done. And eventually, our big goal and dream is to be able to do events where we do 100 events simultaneously. Imagine going to Make-A-Wish Foundation, Habitat for Humanity, some big cause, and saying, I have an idea. I'm going to send out one email to 100 of my best friends, and they're all going to initiate an event in their community on your behalf. We got Chris in Niagara Falls, New York. We got Claude in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. We got Brian Glow in Winnipeg. We got Tim Fox here. We got Dean Anke over here. These are the, we got Mark Irish in Florida. These are all the people I've worked with. And when I send them the go ahead, they're going to know how to do this. They're going to contact your local group. They're going to get a venue, which will be sponsored. They're going to fill that full of people. They're going to partner with the schools. They're going to help your cause. They're going to be a 50-50 ticket split. Can you imagine walking into an organization and saying, me and 100 of my friends, we meet every week, and all we do, we encourage and support each other to do good things in our community. That's it. Last month, what if you were able to say, last month, we raised $150,000 for this cause, the month before, $250,000 for that cause, the month before, $300,000 for this cause, me and my 100 friends.
That's amazing.
Why we haven't done this already? We have not found 100 entertainers who could make that happen. They didn't know how to partner with these nonprofit groups. They didn't know how to partner with the schools to set up these strategic partnerships. They weren't sure how to get sponsors on board. They don't know who to talk to, what to price, what to ask for. So by us sharing this, we can change lives around the world doing what we love to do. And I would hope that most people who got into magic or show business got into make a difference, right?
Right.
So why not get highly paid and really impact your community, almost like a secret millionaire almost. Like,
right, right.
Do you want some money? Do you want some free and easy money? Do you want some free and easy money? Do you want some free and easy money? So I hope at least I've inspired others to at least think about this process, because there's a lot more to magic than just doing shows, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I can speak from experience that a friend of mine that I referred to you to learn what you teach, he did in fact make back his investment with his very first gig. And he was really, it got canceled because of COVID, but it's since been rescheduled and he's rocking and rolling and having a great time. So Claude, this has been wonderful. Stick around for a few moments when I pause the recording, and you and I will chat for a minute. But listeners, and by the way, Claude, I want to thank you publicly too for, you know, sharing your story. Like you, when I was a kid, 8-9 years old, I mean, I could barely complete a sentence. So I really appreciate you sharing your story about you know, having difficulty stuttering and so forth. So if two stutterers like me and Claude can have success, if you're out there listening, and you've got any kind of impediment or roadblock, you can overcome it. You can be a success too. Claude, this has been great. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
All right. So stick around, folks. We're going to move on now to this week's episode of Trick Talk.
It's time for Trick Talk. Honest, detailed reviews of magic tricks, equipment, and other fun stuff to make your show the best it can be.
Well, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Claude. He's got some great information. I know you're going to get a lot of use out of it. Just great stuff. Let's go on now to this week's episode of the Professional Magician Podcast, Trick Talk. It's available in kenscottproducts.com, Snowman in a Box. This is really, really cool. So here we go. Here's the ad copy, the perfect addition to any Christmas, holiday, or winter show for children and families. It's a nice surprise. It packs so small, yet looks so big and plays big. The product comes with just the box and inflatable snowman.
There's a remote to power it on and off, and you supply your own decor, and you show a small box and nothing in the box. Your assistant from the audience helps make a snowman appear in the small box. After several failed attempts with magic wands, finally a small snowman does appear in the small box, but behind the performer and the helper is the inflatable snowman popping out of the box. The audience starts screaming. It does require power, but Ken supplies you with a remote that will power on and power off the inflatable. So if you want to just face the audience and say Frosty was going to appear, but I don't think he's going to make it, and behind you, the inflatable starts popping out of the box. Kids love this and looks great for decor. There's a link you can click on the video to see more. This thing is so stinking adorable. I've performed it both ways. I've performed this both ways where you have the box set up on stage and I think I did mine with a change bag, and I had like a snowman. I don't remember, but anyway, I did it just like how Ken talked about in the ad copy, where, you know, I've got this magic wand. We're trying to make a snowman appear, and nothing's happening. I think I did do it with a change bag. I didn't do a box, and nothing's happening. And then the snowman appears, you know, inflates behind me, and the kids just go crazy. So that was really fun. I've done that a few times, and I might bring that back for my library shows this year too, because it's such an adorable presentation. The way that I do it most often, however, is if I'm doing it in school shows and bigger audiences, I've got a great big 8x10 backdrop. I've got two side banners, and in front of one of the side banners is the box that the snowman comes in on a stand. And then they introduce me, and I'm behind the stage, and I said, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, whatever, let's get ready for some fun. I get the kids fired up. I go, you know, who's ready for some Christmas magic? Yeah. Who's ready for some Christmas magic? Yeah. And then I start the music. Here we go. Music starts. It's a really upbeat Christmas song. I forget the name of it, but it was used in Fred Claus. I know that's very helpful. But this really cool music starts. And as the music starts playing, I'm still behind stage, and the snowman comes out of the box. So the first, you know, magic effect, or the first visual happening, happens. I'm not even on stage. So, you know, the snowman comes out of the box, the music's playing, I come running out, and I get ready to go into my first routine. I go, I'm Chris Johnson, that's Frosty, let's have some holiday magic. And then I go right into my first thing. And then it's the snowman is up for the entire show. So it serves as like this nice decor, really cute way to begin the show. Something very unexpected too, that, you know, the first thing would happen with me not even being on the stage. So that's how I use it. It comes with a power pack and everything. You know, you do have to have 110 outlet. You don't have to have an extension cord with you to power the thing. So there is, you know, that consideration. So there's a little bit of extra setup time involved, but this thing is so cute. It's so adorable. Ken Scott puts out great products. If you may not recall, he put out the great, the Jumbo 3-card Monty, like these 8x11, you know, laminated cards, you know, 3-card Monty, and then you show the center card changes into a library card. I still use that. I bought that thing like 20 years ago, and I still use it in my reading shows today. Ken Scott's a worker. He's one of the guys. If you don't know Ken Scott, he was, at the time of this recording, he just finished up president of the IBM for an entire year. I think he was vice president the year before that. I can't remember. You know, great guy. Him and I are working together professionally right now. But I'm a customer too. He sells great props, and I love his stuff. So highly recommended. This is a great thing for holiday shows, as the ad copy says. I give this a perfect 10 out of 10. And it's push button easy. It's just a remote. It's not the most magical thing in the world, but for this, I don't think it needs to be. The two ways that I use it, I think, are just great, and the kids react to it, and it's so colorful. Sometimes it's not about the amazement. Sometimes it's just about how something looks and feels and how awesome it is. A very simple push button prop, you know, less magical and more just looking cool. 10 out of 10, there's no angles to worry about. It's just something very cool to add to your holiday shows. I love this. I know you'll love it too. To me, it's very reasonable for what you get, and I highly recommend it. So that's this week's episode of the Professional Magician Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. As always, please give me a 5-star review if you enjoyed the podcast. I get a lot of private messages and emails from people who enjoy the podcast, but I do need more reviews, so help me out in that regard. And also be sure to check out in the show notes a link to my website, one particular thing in particular, all about a 2-word secret that can help you book more shows at higher fees. So until next week, I'm Chris Johnson. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to today's show. If you haven't already, subscribe today so you don't miss a single episode. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of The Professional Magician.